This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I'm coming to you today with part two of a message that I started in May, in the month of May of 2020. It was published in 2020. Part number one was, this is part number two that was published in June of the year 2020. So we got the part one for May of 2020, part two of June 2020, and this is being put on audio in the month of April of the year 2024, which is almost 4 years ago that this message was published. And the reason why I give you the dates, as I mentioned before, is that certain things that I might make reference to in this message were relevant back when the message was published, either persons, places, things, or events, which may or may not be relevant today. But as I've always said, and I continue to say, when it comes down to the Word of God, His Word is always relevant, yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it, you would do well to take heed to it and thereby adjust your lives according to it. Now, our subject scripture is taken from the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, chapter number 33, and verses number 2 and 3. Actually, I would say the message covers more than these two verses that I'm going to read, so you'll have to I'll make reference to them as I've gone along. If you listen to part one, then you already know what the other scriptures, how far down I've gone in Ezekiel chapter 33. It would do well for you to read the entire chapter. But anyway, if you have the word, I mean the scriptures available, once again, this is part two for June of the year 2020, and it says, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. And I will stop right there. The subject for this message is the sword of the Lord, part number two. Now, when I left off last month, I gave you a passage of scripture to examine. In the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter number 5, verse number 38, we find a centurion or a soldier speaking to his other comrades and so forth about trying to stomp out this new cult called Christianity that was flourishing in their cities and things where they had control. They were trying to stamp it out, going out arresting them for sedition and all the other stuff that they could find on them, bringing them in, putting them on trial, finding them guilty, stoning some, hanging some, putting them in coliseums and turning lions and things, tigers loose on them, sending gladiators out, you know, to basically kill them, you know, a whole bunch of stuff going on. And this one centurion said in Acts chapter 5, verse 38, he says, "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this council or this work be of men," talking about Christianity, "if it be of men, it will come to naught." But look at verse number 39. "But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God." Now I said, what this passage of scripture reveals is the same thing that is wrong with most of our preachers, especially in the black community today. In this passage, a man who, by the way, is not one of Christ's followers, but rather is in opposition to this new phenomenon called Christianity, is telling his friends to essentially leave them alone. His reason being, if this thing is by the design of men, it will soon fade away as yesterday's news. But, on the other hand, if it is by the design of God, then you might very well find yourselves fighting against God. From the way it is worded, he must be addressing some of the religious leaders and those in authority of the nation. And this is the danger we face today with incompetent watchmen or preachers. I have listened to the likes of the Reverend Al Sharpton, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, Michael Eric Dyson, and a few other bishops and ministers who are supposedly leaders in our, talking about the black community, reacting to this virus as if it is just another problem that we are facing that reveals how the president and his administration are responsible for not providing the necessary funds, equipment, and leadership in this crisis. Well, when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about this happened to be they're trying to blame all this stuff on Donald Trump. Essentially, they, along with the news media, are putting the majority of the blame on him. Talking about Donald Trump. If they happen to mention that it is a plague from God, they, once again, label it as God's punishment on this nation for electing this president and once again putting the blame on his supporters. What we have here is the fact that they are playing politics where the solution to the problem is to impeach or vote this president out of office in favor of a candidate who, in their eyes, can turn things around and get us back on the right track and defeat this virus. The problem is they are completely blind to what is happening and why. It is one thing to see a problem, but totally another to be able to identify its source so that you can mount the right response. As in the case of Acts chapter number 5, verse 38 and 39, the decision on how to respond to this situation is key on how to defeat it. Taking their approach, the problem can best be rectified by voting in a new president of their liking this November. This says man can fix it. The problem is, as I see it, no one is considering that this could very well be directed by God and as such can't be defeated by political choices, especially when those political choices represent the reason for the problem in this first place, the problems for this problem that we have in the first place. So what we have is watchmen or preachers not only being unable to identify the source of the problem, but are giving people directions that will only serve to bring even more pain and suffering to them by directing them to fight against God. These are preachers telling the people to fight against God. And that is a fight you definitely don't want. As I mentioned in part one, a watchman or preacher must, of necessity, be able to not only identify the problem, but to discern its source so that he can issue the proper directions. In a case like this, he must be able to be in contact with God and to see things from God's perspective. Take a look at this scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Verse number 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let me repeat that. But we have the mind of Christ. What it is saying is that we are to have the mind of Christ, and if we do, then we will look at things from a purely spiritual perspective and see things the way that He, Christ, or God sees them. And the only way to do that is you have to know God personally. What does that mean, you might ask? Take any member of your immediate family, your spouse, a very close friend, or the like. In the vast majority of these instances, you are so close to and have spent huge amount of time with them that you can almost know what they are thinking or what they will do in any given situation. Many of you are so connected to them that if someone came to you and accused them of doing something, because you know them so well, you could immediately disagree with them on that issue. Or maybe you could agree with them. The point is, however, you know them so well that it is like you were in that person's mind and seeing things the way that they do. That is the same way we need to treat God or Christ. We must get to know Him intimately. St. John chapter 15, verse number 4 says this. Jesus is speaking. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now let's go down to go to the book of Revelation, chapter number 3 and verse number 20. And here we find him. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. If you will look at the three verses that I just read, they all symbolize what can best be described as a close, personal, intimate relationship. Look at the last verse first. When you invite someone over to dinner, that shows that this person has favor with you, so much so that you are willing to cook for them. The first two represent the type of intimate relationship that takes place between a man and his wife, where the two have become one. This is the type of relationship you need to have with Christ in order to see things the way that God sees them. That is where the Holy Spirit comes in. It is He that enables you to do this. Without Him, you are left to seeing things the way that the world does. Why do you think Jesus told his apostles to wait until they were endued with power before they set about to preach the word? You can go to the Gospel of Luke chapter number 24 and verse number 49. They had to be able to see things the way that God sees them and respond accordingly. What we have today, in many cases, are people that have no such relationship with God. Therefore, they are good for nothing as watchmen or preachers. They can't recognize danger. They don't know the source. and they don't know what to tell you to do to avoid or to combat it. Can you imagine a person like this as an air traffic controller? You know, I talked about the air traffic controllers and about how they have to be spot on in everything they do because they have millions of lives at stake guiding those aircraft through takeoffs and landings and traveling from one place to another, all those aircraft in the air, and you very seldom will hear of two of them colliding in midair. It may happen, but that's because of a failure on their part. But that's the responsibility that the aircraft traffic controller has. But anyway, can you imagine a person like this as an air traffic controller? I don't even want to think about it. One wrong move or bad decision and hundreds of people could die. Yet, the watchman or preacher has a far greater responsibility because he is dealing with the eternal souls of the individuals under his charge. One wrong decision and a soul could be lost for eternity. And just for the record, one lost soul is one too many. And as our scriptures tell us, the watchman or the preacher is going to have to answer for that. Do you remember the parable about the shepherd and his 100 sheep? Do you remember how one of the sheep got lost and he, the shepherd, left the other 99 and went out searching everywhere for that one sheep that was lost? And how that when he found it, he rejoiced more over it than the 99 that stayed in the flock? That is how important one soul is. And here we have so-called shepherds putting thousands of souls at risk for what? Money, power, prestige. My job as an evangelist is to be the watchman that is called to identify any and everything that is a threat to every soul that I come in contact with. And as bad as this virus is, what is worse is these preachers that are willing to sacrifice people for their own glory. When all is said and done, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes because there is going to be hell to pay, both in this life and the one to come. In this life, by suffering humiliation, sickness, they or their family members dying, or the loss of all things that they sacrifice those souls to achieve. Then, in the next life, standing before God and being dispatched to hell. You know, I was thinking, it would be fitting if they got sued in a court of law for malpractice. If a doctor can be sued for causing injury or death to a patient, how much more serious is it if a preacher who is supposed to be saving souls ends up destroying them for eternity? But not only that, I'm inserting a part in here that's not in the track, but even in this life, causing them to end up losing, you know, their health, or being injured, or losing family members or something because they were involved in something that they thought was all right, and God allowed them to be taken out of here, or their family members to be taken out of here. Somebody and the result comes back through investigation. It was because of faulty directions from these preachers. That would be fitting right there. You know how these trial lawyers go after doctors and things for malpractice and stuff like that? Or, you know, you guilty by, you may not have actually done anything. You might have been quiet, so you were an accessory to the fact or something like that. All of that, you know, it would be fitting for that to be happening. Just a thought. That is really something to think about. I wonder if there are any trial lawyers out there willing to take the case like this one, you know. I really do. Like I say, here they are on a job where they have absolutely no experience directing people to do things that will surely end up costing them their lives and souls, all for the sake of power, money, and prestige. To everyone that is out there, if I were you, I would get as far away from them as possible. I would avoid them like you are trying to avoid this virus, which may be able to kill you, but not kill your soul. You keep listening to these buffoons, and you will find yourself fighting against God. And you know what the end result of that is. It has been reported in the news how that this virus is killing more blacks than any other community in this nation. That is a direct result of the blind following the leadership of these incompetents. They are all too willing to find others to blame than having to admit that they don't have a clue as to what they are doing. And I would rather believe that than to believe that they know exactly what they are doing and just don't give a damn. The sword is coming through the land. Are you prepared? Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre, and I'm closing this message out. And I hope that you have gotten something from this message, because there's a lot to be said here. But it all boils down to, once again, like the Bible says, when the blind lead the blind, both of them are going to fall in the ditch. And just because somebody's got a master's degree in theology or whatever, doctorate degree or BA degree or whatever types of degrees they have, it don't mean a thing if they don't have the anointing of God on them so that they can see and direct you as to what is and is not what you're supposed to be doing and how to avoid the problems that are facing us all the time. Now, like I said, this coronavirus was prevalent back in the 2020 when this message was first published, but there's still a lot of things going on in the land today other than this virus. Crime, drug epidemics, and other viruses and things coming around, you name it, there's all sorts of hell. The nation is going almost bankrupt. Wars are popping up all over the place. And you still got these preachers still trying to talk about politics and forgetting about one major scripture. And that's the scripture that tells us in the last days there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes and everything else. All of these things are signs of the times that are letting us know that Christ is soon to return to take the church out of this world. And anybody that's not saved is going to be left here when he comes back and takes the church out of this world. And then you think you're seeing hell now? This is a picnic compared to what's coming. And these preachers can't even see that coming. They still playing politics. And I'm talking about big name preachers. I'm not just talking about, you got Al Sharpton and things, but you got people like just church a few weeks ago got shot up. Somebody came into church and started shooting in the church, and some people were able to stop the woman that killed his, Joel Osteen. Yeah, him. And you got all these popular preachers and things that are preaching these prosperity messages and things like that, and telling people how to get rich and things, and caring on what they need to be doing is telling them that they better be getting ready, getting their souls ready so that they can get out of here when the time comes. But they aren't doing that. They're too busy directing the people on how to live a life and get prosperous and you know, be rich and have peace of mind and a wonderful life and so forth. It's time out for that. It's too close. Any minute now, that's the way I look at it. It's about 1 or 2 minutes before midnight. It's time to tell people, all hands on deck, get ready and things like that, because we getting ready to move out of here. Talking about the church is getting ready to move out of here. You got your ticket, you got your bags packed, you got everything in order, your passport ready, your salvation all set, your soul all set. Getting ready to get out of here. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing this message out. And in closing, like I'm saying, get yourselves ready. You and your families, get yourselves ready. And may God bless you and your families real good. Until we get together next time, the Lord willing. God bless you and good day.